A morning today's daf in Chulin is Kuf Mem. Perek Shiluach HaKein, we're talking about the sending away of the mother bird, mitzvah, and the Torah mentioned in Parsha Ki Seitze. And our perek is dedicated to this topic. Not a lot of Gemara on this topic, it's a short perek. It is the concluding perek of the Masechta. And in so, we have dealt with some of the most basic details regarding this mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. The Torah describes that you're sending away the mother bird so that you can collect either the chicks or the eggs. The Mishnah gave us some of the most basic rules regarding this mitzvah. It applies both in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. When there is or there is no Beis HaMikdash, only by Chulim, not by Mukdashin. And then the Mishnah launches into its various Chumras. There are certain Chumras that you have by Kisui Adam that you don't have by Shiloh HaKein. The Mishnah then goes on to say that both the mother and the chicks both have to be kosher types of birds. If either one of them are not kosher types, so then there is no mitzvah. And then the mission concludes by describing a very strange bird, the Kori Zachar, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later on. In the meantime, however, we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. We're on Kofla Metesamad Beis, and the Gemara, we're towards the top of the Amud, right at the two dots. Chomer B'Kisui. There are certain stringencies that you have B'Kisui. Adam Tan Rabbanon, and the Gemara opens up with a braisa that's darshing the Pasuki Kari Kan Tzipor Lefanecha. So the Torah describes where it happens. You happen to come across a nest. So we know that the continuation, the Torah describes how you're going to take the mother bird. Sorry, you're going to send away the mother bird. And you're going to collect the chicks for yourself. So I might have thought that here's the story. So I should be seeking out this mitzvah. Meaning that it's a mitzvah in the Torah, unlike any mitzvah in the Torah, so it's of the ultimate value. And so what we should be doing is we should be going over the globe, cross-country travel. Let's head out and find a nest and let's send away the mother bird. So So the Torah clearly states that this is only a happenstance mitzvah. Only if you happen to come across a nest is there a mitzvah. But there's no active necessity to go ahead and seek the mitzvah. The next drasha of the Braisa is that it's in front of you and it's a nest. And Mikomakom, the way Rashi understands this, is that you don't need a lot of eggs. In fact, you don't need a lot of chicks. One would be sufficient. One egg or one chick would be sufficient where it would warrant the mitzvah. Tzipor tahora velo tamea. It has to be a kosher bird, not a non-kosher bird. And lifanecha birshus hayachid. So lifanecha in front of you, meaning that you're on a private path. Baderech birshus harabim. So baderech is a reference to a rishus harabim. So bi'ilanos minai now. What if you're not in Rishus Yachid, which we darshan? What if it's not a Rishus Rabban, which you also included? But what if it's in the trees? Tamalama Bechol Eitz. So, the Torah describes where you can find it in any scenario. Private, public domain, or even neither. Even up in a tree. Bebor Shechon Amaros Minayin. What if it's in a cave? What if a nest is located somewhere in a cave? So Tamalama O Al Haaretz. So the Gemara says, so really, when all said and done, it's kind of interesting. It's a little strange. We darshan the Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, in a tree, in a cave. I'm starting to sound like Dr. Seuss. So so if that's true, lefanecha baderech lamali, so then what do we gain from the Pesukim? Meaning, obviously, there has to be some sort of drasha that's created. There has to be some sort of exception. So, lama lecha, ma derech she'ein kana biyadcha, av kol she'ein kana biyadcha, mikan amru, yone shavach, v'yone aliyah, shekanenu betfichim ubebiros, v'ivzim v'tarnagolim, shekanenu bepardes, chayav b'shiluach, av akinu besoch habayis, v'chein yone adresos, patim b'shiluach. So, the Braisa says, the exclusion is going to be in your home. If you have a nest inside your home, so then there is not going to be a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. Meaning you could be out in the orchard, you could be anywhere outside. But once you're inside the house, so there's no longer a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, and that's what's derived from the pasuk of Baderech. Adkan Divrei HaBraisa, the Braisa went over numerous drushas that are learned, extracted from the Pesukim, and the Gemara is going to go in its normal course. We're going to go step by step, pick apart every part of the Braisa. Amar Amar, Ma Derech She'ein Kana Biyadcha, Af Kol She'ein Kana Biyadcha. So halamali. So the Gemara says now, interesting, at the end of the Braisa, we said it has to be an area that's not yours. It's not your residence. So the Gemara says, Miki Kare Nafka. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Isn't the Torah, didn't we darshan in the beginning of the Braisa? The Braisa says, Ki Kare, you happened upon. Now you don't happen upon your home. You live in your home. So what does it mean, ki kare? I'm sorry, the derech is coming to teach me that your home is excluded. Didn't we already learn that from the beginning of the Braisa? To which the Gemara clarifies. Ki kare prat lemezuman. Michi kare nafka ki kare prat lemezuman. So isn't that exactly the point of the beginning of the Braisa? Va'od lefanecha lamali. So, and if that's true, then what is the lefanecha coming to teach me? So it seems to be a redundancy in the Braisa. I already know from the beginning of the Braisa that places that you happen upon in your home is not a place that you just happen upon. So elefanecha lasuye shayilefanecha umardo. So the Gemara says lefanecha means as follows: once upon a time they were in your home, and then they left your home. They were morayed. They rebelled. So baderech, and as far as the pasuk of baderech is concerned, kidrav Yehuda Merav, damrav Yehuda Merav, matza ken biyam chayav bishiluach. Now, as far as baderech is concerned, so let's say you are in the ocean and you find a nest in the ocean. Now, admittedly, a little hard to imagine, but we could be a little bit creative. So you're traveling through the ocean and you come across a nest. Shenamar, Karmar, Shemana, Simba, Yam, Derech. That's exactly the point. Meaning that the Yam qualifies as a Derech. Once we know that the threshold in terms of what would warrant the mitzvah is that as long as you're Bad Derech. And we have another pasuk describing the Yam being a Derech. So now we know that if you come across the Yam somewhere, if you come across a nest somewhere in the Yam, so that's also going to be Chayev. Elamiata, Matzah, Kim, B'Shamayim. Now, let's say you find a cane up in the heavens. Now, granted, by the way, this is going to require even more creativity, meaning a nest in the ocean, at least there's water, and at least the nest could be like floating on the water. But floating in the air, that's tricky. Now, we already learned a tree earlier in the Braisa, in the Pasuk in the Torah, quite frankly. So we don't, when we say in the air, we don't mean in a tree. We mean hovering in the air. Okay, so hovering nests. If you take a look at Rashi recognizes the physics and the challenges. Rashi's heard of gravity. So Rashi describes over here, it's a very short Rashi. Rashi says, "Of no say kan ba'avir, or kain ba'avir." So what's happening is that the nest is on the back of a bird that's flying in the air. Okay. Anyway, point is, "Sichsiv derech nasher b'shamayim." So hachinam de mechayev b'shulach hakein. So the Gemara says, now we do have a pasuk in Yeshayahu, in Mishlei, that describes that the Shamayim is also considered a derech, and you mean to tell me that under those circumstances you'd be chayv as well? So the Gemara says, yeah, but a very crisp reading of the text would indicate that this is not a good drasha. Derech nesher ikre, derech stamalo ikre. We're looking for something that is just described in Tanakh, anywhere in Tanakh, as a derech. So a yam is described as a derech. But the heavens is not. It is called Derech Nesher. Okay, so that's, you know, that's where the eagles fly, or the vultures, however you want to define it. So Amrilei Pumpanayla Rav Masna Amatzah Ken Barosho Adamahu. What if you have the nest on somebody's head? Okay, so the person he's practicing some yoga, he's doing some deep breathing meditation, and he happens to be situated in the same place for a long period of time to the point where a nest is on his head. So Amar Va'adamal Rosho. So the pasuk says Adamal Rosho. So it can very well be that the Adam has dirt on his head, meaning that he could be that he very much so that he is grounded. Okay. As long as Papa Nai was asking Rav Matzah a number of questions, he goes and asks other questions seemingly unrelated. Now, if you are somebody who enjoys Agadata and enjoys connecting pieces of Agadata with pieces of Gemara, so I'm sure you can find the connection. At simple glance, other than this is just part of the dialogue, it's hard to really see the connection between these, but these are, so to say, popular Gemaras. Moshe Minatar Minayin. Now, we're going to find Moshe alluded to in the Torah. Now, this first question is a funny one, because where's Moshe alluded to in the Torah? So, newsflash, Moshe is probably the most recognized personality in the Torah, and probably, I didn't crunch the numbers, but probably the most mentioned personality in the Torah. So we're looking for an allusion in Moshe in the Torah. So obviously what the Gemara is going to do is it's going to find an allusion somewhere in Sefer Bereishis, where Moshe, before Moshe was born. So obviously that's what's happening over here, but why are we seeking an allusion for Moshe in the Torah? So that's a wonderful question, and again, those who darshan the Agadata, I'm sure have addressed it. So I've not seen anything. So I haven't done my due diligence. So Moshe Minatar Minayin b'shigamhu basar. So the Torah describes where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, I'm so tired and fed up with humanity. So I'm going to give them 120 years left. So the 120 years over there is not a reference to Moshe's age, although he did live to 120, but it was just a reference to how much longer Kadosh Baruch Hu was ready to tolerate humanity. As far as an allusion to Moshe, b'shagamu basar, so number one, we mentioned the 120, which happens to also be Moshe's years on this earth. And as Rashi points out over here, b'shagam and gematria is the same gematria as Moshe. Haman min haTorah minayin, where are you going to find Haman alluded to in the Torah? Hamin ha'etz. So here, the very famous Gemara, you hear it all the time in drashas. So this is where Haman is encrypted in the Torah. He's from the eights. Esther min haTorah minayin, v'anochi haster astir. Mordechai min haTorah minayin, dechsiv mar deror. So you look at the Ketores and the various incenses and various spices that are included. And one of them is mar deror, umit tegar minan, mira dachya. And over there, if you look at Targum, you're going to see that Mar Doror, the Targum of it, the Aramaic translation of it, is basically Mordechai. So that's an allusion to Mordechai. And so again, if you're going to be sitting on these pieces of the Vagadata, so start with the Marsha and go from there in terms of understanding in the significance of these encryptions and what exactly we are teasing out from Haman and Esther and Mordechai, and specifically to those particular locations in the Torah. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon. So we are now just focusing on the special pigeons that were described in the Mishnah. Charamar hadresios v'charamar hardesios. So there are two nuschaos, there are two different versions of what exactly the Mishnah said. Is it the resh dalet or is it the dalet resh? Mandatni hardesios al shem hordus. So if they're hardesios, so they're related to hordus. Hordus one of the late Chashmonaim kings, probably not a descendant of a Jew, probably was from a descendant of an Evan, and moved up in ranks and moved up to the point of being a Melech. And so what he did is really a magnificent job in terms of not rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, but updating the Beis HaMikdash renovations. What we have now is the Haronian Beis HaMikdash. In other words, the remnants that we have now is from Herod. So he had a whole assortment of pigeons, and so raised them and whatever. In other words, not he himself, he was a king, but he was responsible for these types of pigeons, and so Herodian pigeons. Umanditni hadresios Hashem akamam. Now, if it's hadresios, it just happens to be that there's a place called hadresios where they raise pigeons over there. Amrav Kahana Ladidi Chazim Vakamashitsa Dare Bipate Mile Vahave Krai Kirikiri. So and now Rav Kahana makes the following declaration. I saw the Herodian pigeons, and they were in rows of 16, and Bipate Mile, Rashi describes, Rashi is the first wide line towards the bottom. Kol Shura Arka Barachav Mil, the every row in its length was 1 mil long. It's about a kilometer. And what they would announce is Kiri Kiri. Rashi says the word Kiri means my master, meaning that these trained pigeons were basically not only trained to do whatever courier service they needed, but also they spoke, and they were trained to speak and call Herod the king. In other words, they trumpeted and they heralded Herod's entrance by calling him the king. Now, Havachad Minayin, now the Gemara is going to be, this is, now keep in mind, by the way, I say this is a Gadata, but at the same time, however, Rav Kahana is giving a description. So it does not sound so much like the Gemara is launching into a Gadata, but at the same time, Rav Kahana's description is going to, in just a moment, or I'll say better, right now, is going to seem a little bit fantastic. So Charminai, so Havachadminai, Dolo Havikari, Kiri Kiri. So one of the pigeons, so he turned into a rebel. And he would not declare Herod to be the king. Amale chaverta suma amri kiri kiri. So the adjacent pigeon said to him, you're an idiot. Meaning this is Herod's the king. And if you don't declare it, so basically you're taking your life into your own hands. So amra sumra amra kiri biri. And so this pigeon was, he was a stubborn pigeon. And so he refused. He did not declare that Herod was the king, but rather he said kiri biri. He was a boor. Right, Rashi writes, La Oso Shah's Kari Adon Evet. He called him a slave. Al Shayu Evet, because, again, like I said earlier, most probably Herod's roots was that he comes from a family of slaves. So asu of a shachta. They took the bird and they shachta the bird. So Amr Ravashi, Amr li Rabbi Chanina mila milin. So on this Rashi, Ravashi quipped. Now Ravashi, now remember, Rav Kahana was an early Amora. So he was of the same generation of Rav. He was a student of Rav. And now Ravashi's commenting, so probably Ravashi is commenting years later, meaning, assuming that this is a Ravashi who is the editor of the Gemara, so we're talking about years later now commenting on this episode. So his comment is very simple. Milin, milin. Meaning this is just storytelling. It's not, this didn't happen, we're not having birds converse with one another. So Ravashi is taking a, quote-unquote, more rational approach to what was just being described. So, Amar of Yitzchak, sorry, Amar le milin milin. Sakadacha. I'm sorry, Amar Ravashi, Amar le Rabbi Chanina, milin milin. So now the way it is originally presented is, like I described, just storytelling. But in other words, but this didn't happen. So Saka Datcha, so then Gemara immediately reacts, and the Gemara says, what are you talking about? And just to explain the Gemara's question a little bit better, like I said moments earlier, this isn't Agadata, meaning the Gemara is not telling us stories and parables and morals and sermonizing. This is Rav Kahana describing the Herodian pigeons. So, and you want to tell me now that these are just storytelling? Meaning this is a statement that was said by Rav Kahana, meaning he is recounting what he saw. So you can't just simply call this storytelling. Ela ema bimilin. So the Gemara says, okay, you want to explain a conversation took place between pigeons? Fine. I'm ready to entertain that. But it had to have been done supernaturally. In other words, obviously with the laws of nature, this doesn't happen. So it was done supernaturally. How was it done supernaturally? If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Ayidik Shafim, Malum Ados Ladaber Osanophos. Okay, so through some magic and sorcery, so these pigeons were taught how to speak and converse. Okay. Of tamei potem l'shamech, l'shalech. We're back to the halacha, and what do we say? Both the mother bird and the either eggs or chicks that it's sitting on, they both have to be of a kosher type. Now, how do we know this? Menanimili. Amar v'yisrael amar kraki kara kansipor l'fanecha. So the Torah starts off by describing how there is a kansipor. Of mashmalan bein Torah bein tamei. Now, if the Torah would have elected to use the word of, which obviously means bird, so of can go in either direction. Of can refer to a bird that's kosher or a bird that's not kosher. In fact, when the Torah introduces us to the world of non-kosher birds, the Torah uses the words of. Of is a more universal term that describes both kosher and non-kosher. Tzipor, tarashkechan dikret tzipor, tamelo ashkechan dikret tzipor. But tzipor is a very specific term. It is a term to describe birds, but only kosher type, not non-kosher type. And the Gemara now is going to test and challenge this theory that the word Sipor is only limited to kosher type. So Tashma, the Gemara quotes now numerous psukim that seem to indicate otherwise. So Tavn is called Sipor, Kanaf. Now, we have an issue in the Torah that one is not allowed to make images of animals. And the Torah says, you're not allowed to make an image of a Sipor, Kanaf. Now, we certainly know that the making of graven images of any animal is a prohibition. And it doesn't matter whether the animal is kosher or non-kosher, and it doesn't matter whether the bird is kosher or non-kosher. So over here, we have a pasuk in the Torah describing the prohibition of making a graven image of a bird, and don't tell me that the iser is only for kosher birds, not for non-kosher birds. Obviously, it is a generic iser for both kosher and non-kosher. So my lav sipor bein tahor bein tamei. Now, the word the Torah uses over there is sipor, and it seems like it's talking about both kosher and non-kosher. So kanaf, and as far as the word kanaf is concerned, chagavim, that's a reference to grasshoppers, meaning you're not allowed to make a graven image of a bird nor of a grasshopper. So the Gemara says, well, no, you know what? We could say a different pshat. And the pshat we could say goes like this. Tzipor tahor, kanaf tameh v'chagavim. So as far as the word tzipor is concerned, that's only a reference to kosher birds. And the word kanaf is to non-kosher birds and to grasshoppers. Okay. Tashma. And basically this maneuver that we just did, so it's going to be repeated numerous times. Kanaf. Now again, my love, sipor bein tahor bein tamei, v'kanaf chagavim. So again, in the Havamina, we think that the word sipor is both kosher and non-kosher birds, and kanaf is a reference to grasshoppers. Lo, sipor tahor, kanaf tamei v'chagavim. Okay, and again, the same maneuver. The sipor is only on the kosher birds, and kanaf is non-kosher birds and grasshoppers. Tashma. Kol sipor kol kanaf. So, and now this is a reference to Noach introducing animals into the ark. So the Torah says that he's bringing in kol tzipor and kol kanaf. My love, kedemakshinan lo kedemashaninan. And the Gemara at this point in time doesn't even have to articulate the question and answer. Right? Question. Tzipor, isn't that a reference to all birds, kosher, non-kosher? Answer, no. Tzipor is only a reference to kosher birds, and the kanaf is non-kosher birds and grasshoppers. Tashma. V'ata ben adam amor l'tzipor ka-kanaf. So, my love, k'dakshin and lo k'dishaninan. And here the Gemara does it really quickly. Pasuk in Yecheskel, tzipor kol kanaf. And again, the question, we know. The answer, we know. Let's move on. Tashma. Okay, I'll do it like the Gemara does it. Tashma. We're on the top of Kuf Mem. So the Uv'an Poe Yadoron Tzipari Shmaya. Okay, if I'm reading a pasuk in Aramaic, it means that we're in Sefer Daniel. Okay, and we are. And so a description of Uv'an Poe Yadoron, and with wings they're going to be dwelling, and Tzipari Shmaya in the birds in the heaven. Rashi over here on the very top of the Amud points out, Hachaloksiv kanaf. Now, note, says Rashi. Notice, it does not say the word kanaf. Now, we're describing over here, the Navi Daniel is describing over here all types of birds, not just kosher, but kosher and non-kosher. The only word that's being used in the pasuk is sipor. Sounds like we have it. We have a pasuk using the word sipor, describing both kosher and non-kosher. So the Gemara says no. If you look carefully, if you read that pasuk again carefully, it says sipori shamaya. Right, so there, Tzipor Shema Ikre, Tzipor Sama Lo Ikre. We're looking for where you just find the word Tzipor by itself with no modification, and there, Tzipor by itself is only a reference to a kosher bird. The Gemara right now is defending our position. Tashma. Kol Tzipor Tahora. The Pesukim in Parshas Re'eh talk about kosher birds versus non-kosher birds. It says Tzipor Tahora. Now, Mechal Deika Tamea. Now, if the Torah is telling us that you're only allowed to eat kosher birds, and the Torah uses the word Tzipor Tahora, the clear deduction is, there's a Tzipor Tahora, and then there's a Tzipor Tamea. Sounds that way. So, Mechal Dika Asura. So, Maihi. So, what is that a reference to? Eat Terefa. Now, the Gemara is going to try to defend. Maybe it's not a reference to a non-kosher type. Maybe it's a reference to a kosher type of bird that we're simply not allowed to eat. Like, for example, a treifa. So the Gemara says, really? So you think that pasuk's talking about a kosher bird that's a treifa? Behedjik siv. I don't need to tease it out of a pasuk. I have a beferish pasuk in Chumash. Numerous beferish pasukim in Chumash that talk about a treifa. Ve'i b'shchuta dimitzora. Oh, so the Gemara says, well, I know. Maybe it's talking about the bird of the mitzora. We know, we just read in last week's Parsha, that the Mitzorah in his Tahara process, so he goes through the first stage of his process, which is the taking of two birds. One of them is going to be shechted, the other one is going to be dipped in the blood of the shechted bird, going to be sprinkled on the Mitzorah, this is day one, and then that bird is going to go free. Okay, good. That is the, and the other bird is going to be shechted. So it's a kosher bird, it's shechita de Mitzorah, shechuta de Mitzorah. So this is going to be a kosher bird that's going to be shechted, and we know the bird that's set free, so that bird is allowed to be eaten. And we know that, by the way, by simple logic, because the Torah would not prohibit something to somebody unbeknownst to that person. So in other words, the bird that goes free is totally mutter. The bird that's shechted, asur lagamrei. Asur b'achila, asur b'ana. Maybe the Torah, when saying tzipor tahora, is coming to exclude not a non-kosher type, but rather the shchuta de mitzora, the shechta de mitzora bird, which is a kosher bird. So the Gemara says, "Misefa de kara nafka." What do you mean? You're right, but we learn that deductively from the next part of the pasuk. Vizer shalosa chlumehem l'rabo shchuta de mitzora. So the second half of the pasuk is there to teach us that the shchuta de mitzora is going to be prohibited from the pasuk of vizer asher loso chlumehem. You're not allowed to eat. So la'olam b'shchuta de mitzora la'avar alav ba'asev lo saseh. So the Gemara says, well, maybe you're right and you're right. Maybe the first pasuk of Tzipor Tahorah is a reference to the shchuta de mitzora, and the second pasuk v'zeh asher lo sochlum ahem is also talking about the shchuta of the mitzora, the shechted bird of the mitzora. What are they both trying to accomplish? One is there for an essay, and one's there for a lo saseh. Right? The essay is right. Eat only kosher birds and lava ba mechlal se'aseh. And then non-kosher bird, and in this case, when we mean non-kosher bird, we don't mean a non-kosher type because, again, the word tzipora means it's a kosher type. What is a non-kosher bird coming from a kosher type? Shchuta de mitzora. But that's just an essay haba mechlala. I'm sorry, a lav haba mechlala say, which is a mitzvah essay. Then on top of that, the Torah also introduces us to a lav as well. It's a negative prohibition to eat such a bird. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Once you're doing this maneuver of just simply adding a essay onto a losase, so why not trefa? Why not say that the Torah prohibits trefa, and the pasuk of Sipor Tahara is coming to tell us there's also an essay coupled with it as well. So the Gemara says, no, davar lame minyano vinyana deshchut ha'ksiv. So the Gemara says, no, context. Context is going to be such a heavy determinant in terms of establishing what the Torah is talking about. Look contextually as to what the Torah is saying. Davar alame Davar alame minyano happens to be, Rashi here points out, one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidrashas Bahem. So over here, contextually, we know we're talking about a shechted animal. So if we know that that's the context of the Torah in this case, so when the Torah is introducing us to a positive commandment, it has to be contextually about shechita, not about trefa. So in other words, the Sipor Shechuta of the Mitzorah is contextually what we're talking about. Okay, Tashma. Shtei Tziporim Chayos. So here now, once again, we're going to keep hitting this point of, when the Torah says the word Tzipora, what does Tzipora mean? So we have been arguing since the beginning of the sugya, Tzipora by definition means only a kosher type of bird. It is not a non-kosher type of bird. If the Torah wants to talk about birds and incorporate both kosher and non-kosher, the Torah would use the word oaf. By using the word Tzipora, it's only kosher. So the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKin is only by a kosher bird. That's the point. What the Gemara has been doing since then is challenging numerous times, and this is another challenge. Tashma Shei Tziporim Chayos. The Torah, in introducing us to the Tahara process of the Mitzorah, so it says that there are two birds which are Chayos. Now, my Chayos, Lav Shechayos Beficha. It must mean that Chayos mean you can put them in your mouth, meaning they're kosher. Now, what would that mean if that were correct? It means that you make sure to find two kosher Tziporim, meaning what's also available, non-kosher Tziporim. That would be the pshat, and that obviously is not something we would want to say, because again, our thesis of the morning has been Tzipor is only kosher bird. So mechlal deika lav shechayz beficha. Lo. So the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says no. My chayos shechayin roshei evarin shalahem. So chayos means that they have all of their limbs. In other words, they are not mechusar ever. Tashma misefa. So the Gemara says, let's continue now. Taharos, mechlal de'ika tameos. So the Torah says, make sure to find its tzipor tahora, taharos. So what does that mean? Meaning that also what is available, which you should avoid, is tziporos tameos. Lo mechlal de'ika, I'm sorry, de'ika tameos. Lo mechlal de'ika trefos. So the Gemara says, no. What the Torah is telling us to avoid is not a non-kosher type of bird, because again, it's Sipur. By definition, we're not talking about non-kosher types. What are we trying to avoid? What is the Torah telling us to avoid? Make sure not to get a trefa. So the Gemara says, trefa mechayos nafka. So the Gemara says, wait one second. We, a moment earlier in the pasuk, said that these birds have to be chayos. Isn't that already preclude a trefa? So the Gemara says, maybe, but maybe not. So the Gemara says, well, remember, back in Chulin, that's funny I said that. We're still in Chulin. It's been a long time. Back in the third parak of Chulin, okay, that's better. It's a more correct sentence. So back in the third parak of the Chulin, we had one of the most basic debates that took place in that parak, and that is whether or not a trefa will live or will not live. Okay? A trefa is an animal that has, or a bird, that has one of its organs punctured, like we described in great detail. Over the course of that third parak. But is that animal or bird going to live for anything more than 12 months? It's a machlokus. Machlokus amongst the Tanayim, Amarayim, etc. So the Gemara says over here, if we subscribe to the idea that a trefa is not going to live, so that means that when the Torah says chayos, it's already precluding a trefa. So the Gemara says, if that's true, we're kind of stuck. What are we doing with that second drasha? The ode, Bein Laman Damer Trefa Chaya, Bein Laman Damer Eino Chaya, Mitan Debe Rav Yishmael Nafka. And the Gemara says, and look, we're having a discussion in terms of, we should be avoiding a trefa bird for the procedure of the Taharas HaMetzorah. And we're teasing it out from the word chayos, or tahoros, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you the truth, we know it can't be a trefa from a totally different source. What is the source? The Gemara introduces us to us right now. There's a karban, which is a machshir, which basically means that right now you're not in a state to do something, and the karban puts you into that state. Okay, and if you are mechusar kapara, if you are lacking in kapara, so a karban, there's a type of karban that basically now you're going to bring, not because you're a chote, but simply because you need this karban in order to allow you access into the Beis HaMikdash. That's a machshir. And then, of course, there's a whole slew of karbanos which are serving as a kapara. Chatas is the easiest example. So there are two types of karbanos. There's a machshir karban and a mechaper karban. And now is that true in the Beis HaMikdash? That's also true outside the Beis HaMikdash, which you have to wonder. What are we talking about? There's a karban outside the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously the word karban we're using loosely over here. There are carbon-like animals that are outside the Beis HaMikdash. And they're both machshir and mechaper types outside. Now, what are examples of each? So let's do an example for each one. As far as a machshir is concerned, tzipore mitzora, the birds of the mitzora, which is not a carbon per se, but it's a voda, it's part of the avoda done outside the Beis HaMikdash. So this is considered a machshir b'chutz. What about a mechaper b'chutz? What kind of quasi-carbon is providing kapara, a carbon that's not brought in the Beis HaMikdash? The answer, of course, is the Se'ir HaMishtaleach, the goat that sent off the cliff on Yom Kippur. So we have a Machshir Mechaper in the Beis HaMikdash, that's most of your karbanos, and you have a Machshir Mechaper outside the Beis HaMikdash. Ma Machshir Mechaper Amor Bifnim Asebo Machshir Kemechaper Af Machshir Mechaper Amor Bechutz Asebo Machshir Kemechaper. Now, as far as in the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, the Machshir is going to be like the Mechaper, meaning they both have to be qualified karbanos. And so too, outside as well, they both have to be qualified karbanos. Now, how do I know they have to be qualified karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash? So Rashi does the math for us. It's not math, but it's deduction. Rashi does the deduction for us, and it works like this, says Rashi. Let's consider. What are our two quasi-karbanos that are done outside the Beis HaMikdash? One is the birds of the Mitzora, and the other is the Seir HaMishtaleach. Now, let's go to the Seir HaMishtaleach. What do we know about that? And before it's sent off the cliff, there are two identical goats in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen's going to have a lottery, and the lottery is going to determine which one's going to go LaShem, and then which one's going to go LaZazel. Clearly, they both need to be qualified, because either one of them has to be a candidate to be offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and in the Heichal. So they both have to be qualified. So we know, therefore, that the Seir HaMishtaleach, even though it was elected to go be thrown off the cliff, but it had to have been a qualified karban. If that's true regarding the kapara karban, it's also going to have to be true for the machshir karban as well. That's done outside, i.e., the birds of the mitzora. They too have to be qualified, and qualification, the most basic qualification of a karban is that it can't be a treifa. Okay, so we have now this drasha that just taught us that the birds of the mitzora, that is the first stage of the tahara process, that's done on day one of its tahara process, so they cannot be a treifa. We learn it from this drasha. And so now, let's regather, let's regroup. So now we have chayos and tahoros. And what are we learning from there? So, Ella Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lema'ute. So here we go now with four possible pshatim in terms of what we're doing with the psukim of Kol Tzipor Tahora. So, Lema'ute Tzipor in Irani Dachas. So the Gemara says one possibility is that it's coming to exclude a Tzipor in Irani Dachas. Now remember, Tzipor is a kosher bird. And meanwhile, we can't enjoy it. So what we're looking at are now other possible factors. Obviously, treifa is no longer in the discussion because we already have a drasha that takes it off the table. So now we're looking at other factors and other considerations. So the Gemara is going to go through four different suggestions. Number one, Ella Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Lemutei Tzipor in Irani Dachas. The bird that comes from the Irani Dachas. Irani Dachas is when you have a city that the majority of the members of that city are being over to Avodah Zarah. The city now has the status of Irani Dachas. All the possessions of the city are going to be collected and destroyed, burnt. Now, what we're saying over here is that if I had a bird from an Irani Dachas, so then I cannot use it as part of the Tzipare Mitzora. The Gemara says, Lamai, Ili Shiluach, Lamar Torah Shalech Letakala. Now again, there are two birds for the Metzorah. One bird from the Metzorah is going to be sent away. The other bird is going to be shechted. So when we are now excluding the Ir HaNidachas bird, for which of those two birds are we talking about? So the Gemara says, look, if it's for the bird that's going to be sent away, we wouldn't even entertain that possibility. We're going to send away the bird that happens to be the bird of an Ir HaNidachas, which is Asar Ba'Achila and Asar Ba'Anah, so that somebody else unsuspectingly will come and take it and use it. In other words, the Torah wouldn't want that. So that's not even open for discussion. So the Gemara says, El Shechita. So the Gemara says, we're talking about the bird that's going to be shechted. And if you think about it, like, you could make the following argument. Look, this is a bird of Ir HaNidachas. Now, I know there's an opinion that says that an Ir HaNidachas lo haya velo yiyya. No, it never happened. But we're just right now dealing in the concept, conceptually. You have a bird of an Ir HaNidachas. And now this bird of an Ir HaNidachas is obviously not used for the Mitzorah bird that's going to be sent away. Torah would not want that to happen. But okay, but we'll use it for the bird that's going to be shechted. And why not? Meaning, any way we're going to be destroying this bird, so we'll just simply shecht it, we'll take out the blood, we'll dip the other bird in this bird's blood, and we'll sprinkle it on the Mitzorah. I see. Or the Gemara in Sukkah describes kususi mechvashiure, which means that right in its current state right now, it's as if it's already burnt. Okay, good. And we can also add to that if it's really quasi carbon, so it's not can't be brought into the mizbeach, right? Tosus is bothered, right? We have this idea of mimashke Yisrael. It has to be something which is, you know, you could actually, at least in principle, bring on the mizbeach. Okay. Anyway, right. The question is very good. See Tosus, by the way, for a discussion on how that would work. But anyway, but the Gemara now is saying that so el shechita. So I could have made an argument that we could use this bird, the Ir HaNidachas bird, for shechita, for the shechuta bird of the Mitzorah. The drasha tells us otherwise. That's one possibility. A second possibility. Rav Amar Lemute Shalala Zaveg La Acheres Kodem Shluchos. So the Gemara says, well, recycling one of the Mitzorah birds. The Gemara says, Lamai Ila Shechita Habai Shiluach. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Are we talking about recycling the bird that's going to be sent away? So the Gemara says, well, we need to send it away. Are we talking about the recycling the bird that was shechted? So the Gemara says, well, that can't be. You can't recycle a shechted bird. El shiluach. So the Gemara says that what happens is as follows. We had a Mitzorah and we had a bird for the Taurus of Mitzorah. Now, we dipped it in the blood for this Mitzorah and we sprinkled on Mitzorah number one. And before we send it away, out comes Mitzorah number two. And he says, oh, I also need a Tahara process. Oh, well, I already have the live bird, so let me reuse the live bird. I'll just simply get another bird, a third bird, we'll shecht it, and we'll reuse the live bird to dip it into this bird's blood and sprinkle on the Mitzorah. So that's what we're darshing that you're not allowed to do. A third possibility, Rav Papa Amar Litziparim, Sheikhlifu Avodah Zarah. A bird that was exchanged for Avodah Zarah. Anything that was bartered in exchange for the Avodah Zarah has Avodah Zarah status. Anything that is bartered with a Avodah Zarah is going to have a Avodah Zarah status. So, now the Gemara says, now again, we're saying that this bird is not to be used for the Mitzorah Tahara process. Which of the two birds? The one that's sent away? Again, the Gemara says, not even open for discussion. Torah wouldn't want us to send away a bird that has a Avodah Zarah status. El Shechita, we're talking about for the bird that shechted. Okay. Ravina Amar Hacha B'Maiskinan Be'of Shaharag Es Hanafesh. We're talking about a bird which is a murderer. Sounds familiar. We discussed it just 2 days ago. Hey Chidami Idig Amar Dina Barkatalahu. Now, if we already had the Gemara Dina on this bird, so we're going to kill the bird, meaning it's not even open for discussion. Ela Kodem Gemara Din. So it must be that we're talking about prior to Gemara Din. Ulamai Ilish Luach Bailas Ula Beidina. Now, we're certainly not going to suggest for a moment that we're going to send away this bird. We have to bring it to court. V'kiyuma bi'atara mikabecha el shechita. So what we are going to entertain is as follows. Look, this bird is a murdering bird anyway. And we're going to take it to base, and it's going to be tried, and we're going to end up executing it. So you know what? In other words, why don't we, and I've been waiting all morning to say this, but now I have the chance, why don't we kill two birds with one stone? So the, thank you. Thank you. Finally. That's why I'm here. So why don't we take this bird, which anyway we're going to execute, and use it as part of the Taras HaMetzara. Meaning one of those birds is going to be shechted anyway, so let's take this bird, let's shecht it, and anyway we're going to have to execute it. And so, and in doing so, we are able to use it for the mitzvah of Taras HaMetzara. That's the Havamina, and now the Drasha tells us otherwise. Drasha says, no, you cannot. Okay, so a really intricate Gemara over here. All this was to defend the position, and the Gemara has defended it. That when the Torah says the word sipor, tzipora, so the Torah is only referencing kosher birds, not non-kosher types of birds. If the Torah wanted to reference both, it would have said oaf. By virtue of the fact that it said sipor, tzipora, it's only kosher bird. Which brings us back to the original point of the Gemara, which is that when the Torah introduces us to the mitzvah, shiluach hakein, since the Torah says ki karech kan sipor lefanecha, so by definition it has to be a kosher bird. Continuing in the Gemara, of tamei rovetz al beitzei of tahor, bishlam of tamei rovetz al beitzei tahor, be'inan sipor v'leika. Now, I understand that if the mother bird that's hovering is a kosher bird, so the Torah says sipor, and it has to be kosher. So if it's not kosher, there's no mitzvah. I get that part. Elo of tahor rovetz al beitzei of tamei, had sipor hu. But the Gemara says, but if the mother bird is a kosher bird, and it's resting on non-kosher eggs, meaning the eggs that it's resting on, are not its own, but rather it belonged to birds that are not kosher. Why isn't there a mitzvah? The Torah's qualification of sipor is only on the mother. So the Gemara says, "Kedam Rav Kahana tikach lach v'lo leklavecha, hachanami tikach lach v'lo leklavecha." So the Gemara says, because the Torah says you have to take it for you, meaning you have to be able to directly benefit from the eggs. If the eggs are not kosher, then you're not going to benefit directly. Now, of course, you could give it to your dogs and have your dogs eat it, but that's not lach. Tikach lach means that you have to directly benefit. So, v'hechid ma d'Rav Kahana. Now, Rav Kahana's original statement did not go on our question. It served our question very well, but what was his point? Aha d'tanya. It's going on the following b'risa. Im treif achayv b'shiluach efrochim treif ospatu m'shiluach. I'm sorry. Im treif achayv b'shiluach. If the mother is a trefa, you're obligated to send it away. But if the eggs are a trefa, you are exempt. Now, how come? And this is where Rav Kahana explained. I'm Rav Kahana, Damar Karti Kachlaf, Velokla Klavecha. Ula Hakish, I'm sorry. The Velokla Klavecha. Exactly the point. Meaning that if the eggs are a trefa, so granted that you could collect the eggs, but you're not going to directly eat them. You can't. It's a trefa. You're going to give them to your dogs, but that's not lach. Lach means that you have to directly benefit from it. So that's why if the eggs are trefa, there's no mitzvah. Now, the Gemara asked a question, right, with a small correction on the side. V'lachish aim trefa le'afrochim, afrochim trefa's patu mishloach, af aim trefa nami patu mishloach. Why don't we make a simple hekesh? If the eggs are trefa and there's exemption, so why don't we then say that if the mothers are trefa, there should also be exemption? So, im kain, tzipor lemu'ute of tami lamali. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then Sipor, which was coming to exclude an oftame, why would I even need that? So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the Braisa? The Braisa says that if the mother is a trefa, so then you're going to be chayv. Amar Abaye, hachikamar. Efroach, sh'iman trefa, chayv b'shuluach. No, what we mean is that if the chicks, where the mother is a trefa, then you're going to be chayv b'shuluach. So basically, here's where we arrive at. If the mother or the eggs are either a of tamei, so then there's no mitzvah whatsoever, right? And that's the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf is, what if they are both kosher animals, but and the mother and the chicks are kosher birds, the kosher types of birds, but one of them is a trefa. So here's where we're at. If the mother's a trefa, there's a mitzvah. Why? Because the eggs are not a trefa. Again, the eggs, whatever. You can have a circumstance in which the mother is a trefa, but the eggs are not. So if the mother's a trefa, there's going to be a mitzvah. Because again, the eggs you can collect and eat them yourselves. The converse would not be true. If the mother was not a trefa, but you knew that the eggs belong to a bird which is a trefa, kosher bird, but the eggs are a trefa, or the chicks are a trefa, then there is no mitzvah. Why is there no mitzvah? Because the Torah requires that we have to be able to take the eggs and directly benefit from the eggs. Okay, let's pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the questions of Rev Oshia, Rev Yirmiya. Yes?
If the mother bird is a trefa, why don't we consider that not kosher? You know what I'm saying? It's tainted, so...
True, but in other words, but the Torah's qualification is only has to be a kosher type. That's it.